The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Austin Stack is with me. Austin's new book has been published, Justice for My Father. He is, of course, the son of the murdered prison officer, Brian Stack. Austin, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
And thanks a million for coming in. Just congratulations on the book.
Cheers. It was a labour of love, but we got there eventually.
Why did you write it?
Essentially, I wrote it for two reasons. First of all, I wanted to have, a historical archive of what actually happened in the Troubles. And, you know, we've seen over the last number of years a certain rewriting or attempt to rewrite the narrative of what went on in Ireland in the 1970s and 80s in particular. And, you know, I wanted to have some sort of a historical record there of what actually happened. But I also wanted to do it to show the type of man my dad was and to do, you know, my dad proud, and to show, like, my dad fought for me as a kid, and I want to fight for my dad, and, you know, just for him as well.
Yeah, and you do talk about this quite a bit in the book, about the narrative that's emerging around the Troubles, particularly amongst the younger generation. And you address those issues as well of your dad and his reputation, and how some have actively sought to sully that reputation.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a particularly sore point with us as a family. And, you know, my dad was, the type of man he was, he never spoke about his work in the prison that much. But I do remember one particular day he came home and he said to us at lunchtime, you know, you have to remember that these people are human beings. They might have done bad things, but they are actually humans. Mm. And that was the side of the man that he was. He was a guy that he lived this true republicanism, the tone, Emmett, that side of United Irishman republicanism, where everybody is equal, everybody has a say, everybody has a voice. And he was a real democrat. And, you know, that's the type of individual he was, involved in community, you know, secretary of the boxing club, boxing judge and referee, GA judge and referee. He had previously been the juvenile coach in the Portlaoise GA club as well. So, like, he was very much involved in his community, and with the prison officers he used to organise, you know, during the winter. He realised the stressfulness of the job, and he would organise road races, sports days, quiz nights, you know, to take them out of that zone, because Portlaoise was not a nice place to work back in the day, because the IRA were ultimately trying to smuggle in Semtex, guns, they were trying to have escapes, and, you know, security was, you know, Portlaoise was reputed to be the most secure prison in Western Europe at the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Sinn Féin tend to be very disciplined and on message, but you tell stories in the book as well about how when Martin Ferris, you know, again, I talk about Sully and the reputation of your dad, talked about your dad kind of standing aside and kind of standing by while prisoners were beaten with batons, that people within Sinn Féin, within the IRA, including Gerry Adams, told you that they had never heard these stories.
Yeah, Gerry Adams was quite clear to myself, my brother Oliver, that nobody in the Republican movement, he claimed, ever came to him and told him anything like that.
Yeah.
He said he never heard it anywhere. But I do think the Martin Ferris stuff was very cynical by Ferris, you know, and I challenged him on it at an Oireachtas committee hearing on the Good Friday Agreement. And his answer was that, you know, I didn't write the book. It was an authorised autobiography, but he actually gave the interview, you know.
Yeah.
So the words had actually come from him. So, you know, it just shows the makeup, you know, that they're of those people at the time.
Yeah. We say at the time, but I mean, the MO is still the same to a degree.
Absolutely. Yeah, the MO is still the same. Granted, you know, it's online trolls now. There's only been one or two instances in the last number of years where Sinn Féin politicians go off message. Particularly, I remember the time that Senator, now TD, Myra Devine, went off message, and she really kept digging when she retweeted a tweet about my dad, and it was actually horrendous, you know, and Sinn Féin disciplined her over that and suspended her for 6 months. But they brought her back in 6 months later, co-opted her onto the council, and now she's a TD.
The online vitriol targeted not just against your dad, but against you, I'm sure it's been pretty pronounced over the last few days as well, with the book being published.
Yeah.
How do you cope with all of that?
Well, what I do
is really, really sordid stuff being shared.
A couple of years ago, I would have started answering it and stuff. And now I just don't answer it. Yeah. I don't go there. A lot of time I just block them and move on. What I have left, last week was particularly, there was an awful lot of stuff when the book was launched. And I left some of it there on my Twitter account so people can see it. You can see for yourself the sort of stuff that's, you know, that they just come up with. It's horrendous.
What, I mean, there'll be people who suggest this and just ignore this cesspit, as it were. But maybe what's more difficult for you to ignore is that issue that you brought up initially. And it's that that narrative that's emerging. How worried are you about that? The kind of how will I describe it? It might have been terrible what happened, but we had no choice. Narrative.
Yeah, it's the no alternative narrative. Yes, as they would call it.
That's a better way of putting it. That's why you've written a book, Austin, and I haven't.
This no alternative narrative is gaining hold with a lot of the young people. And, you know, if I could cast your mind back to 1983 and paint a picture for you of what Ireland was like at that time. 1983, you had the shooting of my dad in March. In August, the same type of unit of IRA people tried to kidnap Galen Weston, the Canadian billionaire who was married to an Irish woman. And there was a massive shootout. The guards were tipped off at his estate. Then you had the kidnapping of Shergar. Then you had the kidnapping of Don Tidy and the murder of Private Paddy Kelly and recruit guard of Gary Sheen, all in 1983.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, and plus then you had a lot of bank robberies. You know, Ireland was not a good place at the time. And people tend not to talk about that now. And this narrative of... what I see is a lot of podcasts done by Republican sympathisers where they bring out this, you know, man, this looks like your cuddly grandfather, and he sits there telling Boy Scout stories of the war, you know. And for me, like, I mean, that's what's gaining traction.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the reason I did the book was so that I can tell the real story of what happened.
The problem you face, isn't it, is that for some young people, 1983, I mean, it's ancient history.
Yeah,
you know, and they feel no relationship to the Ireland that existed then.
Yeah.
And I guess it's true of all human history that the more we get removed time-wise from any event, the simpler we want a narrative to emerge.
Yeah, like, I mean, I can remember my son when he was doing history for his Leaving Cert, and I think he was in fifth year, and he said to me, Dad, tell me about the Sunningdale Agreement. And I'm going, you're learning about the Sunningdale Agreement in history. And he says, yeah, that was like 60 years ago. And I kind of go, right, it was, you know.
Yeah.
So what you say is true, you know.
So that's part of the reason you've written the book. But listen, as well, it does get into what happened to your dad in 1983. And you know what, like, Austin, for you know, you and I have spoken on this radio and you've spoken many times to other presenters in this station as well. And I didn't realise that I read the book that your dad lived for a year and a half.
For 18 months.
Yeah, I didn't realise that. So tell me what that was like.
Yeah, it was particularly horrendous because he was in a coma for the first 6 months and he was in the National Rehabilitation Centre in Dunleary, and we were sent back to boarding school, and my mother was up and down every day. At weekends then, you know, after a period of time, they allowed us to go up and see him. And then he spent some time when he woke up in the rehab centre, and then he was sent home for the last 6 months of his life. And that was particularly cruel, you know, because they couldn't do any more for him and they wanted to send him home from the hospital.
Yeah.
We had to get the house rebuilt, you know, extensions done, new cars, that sort of thing. But as somebody during that time, there was a lot of 14, I was, you know, the attention is put on you and you're walking down the street and people are stopping you and asking you how your dad is. And, you know, at the time I got quite paranoid about that and I didn't know what they were doing. The most of them were well-meaning. And I kind of thought, are these people being well-meaning or are they actually trying to find out something for other means, you know, to maybe go and attack him again? And you just, you know, the tension was what, you know, I found hard to deal with.
You probably don't appreciate till later in life what a profound impact it would have had on you.
Absolutely.
Growing
absolutely.
Up.
You don't. Like, I mean, the way my life trajectory went, like, there was no counselling at the time. You know, I wasn't sleeping for 20 years. I didn't sleep. You know, and when Martin McGuinness made his, you know, during the election, the presidential election, said that he slept well, you know, that really got in on me, you know. But look, at the end of the day, we got, you know, when I went off with Gerry Adams and we met the IRA, we got an admission from them, which they hadn't done 30 years earlier. They said they hadn't done it.
Yeah.
We got an admission, even if it wasn't a full and frank, you know, they said their people did it, but they said it hadn't been sanctioned. But as a family, you know, the other reason I wanted to write the book was to get the estate to apologise for the mishandling of the investigations. There was three separate Garda investigations, and, you know, we had a catalogue of errors from, you know, physical evidence going missing, fingerprints going missing, people not being interviewed that should have been interviewed. Yeah, and, you know, the cold case review team came up with 198 recommendations of things that should have been done that weren't done. And, you know, the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, wrote to us and apologised, and he made a public statement. So I'm looking for Jim O'Callaghan now, the Minister for Justice, and he has agreed to meet me and the family to talk about this. And I would like him to make an apology to my dad on behalf of the state.
Well, we wish you well with the meeting, and we wish you well with the book as well. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much.
Austin Stack, whose new book, Justice for My Father, available in all good bookshops now. Bite in those bookshops and not on Amazon. And we were talking about that earlier as well. Austin, thanks a million.
Cheers, thank
you.
And
for coming into us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.